This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
5, is that it? From 1 to 5 during the days? So we're going to figure that out, inshallah. But in the meantime, if you park here from 1 to 5, you may have to get a, like, I think you have to use the meter, or else they'll give tickets out. I'm not sure, I'm just hearing this now, so I don't know the details about all of this. We will share with you more once I get a better understanding. But we will figure it out, inshallah. None of the Hamu's not here, and neither is Khalid, so I don't know who to turn to. But just in case, if you're here between 1 to 5, just watch out for that, in case we don't want anyone to get ticketed and then pay something that they didn't want to. So 1 to 5, you'll have to actually take a use the meter or pay for the ticket, pay for the actual parking. But we will figure that out, inshallah, in the near future, so that that's not the case. On Fridays after 12 o'clock, it's free, inshallah. So Friday's not a problem, just during the week, that I'm understanding. But we'll look into it, inshallah ta'ala. يروي الإمام البخاري في صحيحه عن أنس بن مالك رضي الله عنه قال The hadith tonight is a collection of Imam Bukhari narrated by Anas ibn Malik, and this is within the theme of outreach and da'wah that we're going to be covering this week and parts of next week as well. And this hadith here is a story that most people know, but I've always felt it to again represent. I like looking for a hadith that show us, give us a glimpse of what the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was like as a person, where it kind of brings out that kind of raw emotion and what he valued and how he saw certain things. And because it's one thing to hear him say it, alayhi salatu wasalam, and that there's a lot of it. But it's another thing when someone observes it and sees it. And I feel it's more powerful when I see someone actually expressing an emotion that he told us was important, because I feel it's just more meaningful. And this hadith tonight, this is what Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu said, qala, عن أنس بن مالك أن غلاما يهوديا كان يخدم النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم مريض. There was a young man. غلام is a word that is used to describe a boy, but that's how we have interpreted it, because we see maturity to happen much later in life. Like, we see maturity happening sometime after 20. When my grandfather got married, he was 13 years old. So and it's not my great grandfather, it's my grandpa. So people early centuries ago matured much earlier in life, and you had to be quite tough and quite strong to actually make it beyond childhood anyways. So when they say ghulam, yes, in the teenage years, but teenage years then was not teenage years today. Teenage years then, so you carried responsibility, you were responsible for your choices and your actions and your behaviors, and you had achieved bulugh physically and mentally. Today, maybe physically, but everything else is delayed a couple of decades down the road. Maybe physically, but down the road until you have all the rest of the stuff. But that's why with the ghulam, when we hear it, we think, oh, it's a boy. No, not really. Not the way you're thinking about it, not the boy that we're thinking about, no. Yeah, he was young, but he was still, he was competent, and he was capable of, he had the capacity of making his own decisions. But the Prophet alayhi salam would comment, especially towards the end of his life, this is towards the end of his life, after Uhud, alayhi salam physically became much more tired, and he found difficulty getting, because the amount of stress and work that was required of him was something that I don't think most people understand, but he was working all day, alayhi salatu wasalam. He was from one task to the other all day long, aside from his qiyam all night. So he would get tired, alayhi salatu wasalam. So they would look for him to find someone who would be willing to kind of be there with him, help him with his wudu, help him with getting, but sometimes with his shoes on, or getting just a little bit of service. So the Sahaba would do it, and sometimes there would be a younger person, this Ghulam, he was a Jewish kid living in Medina, and the Jews lived in Medina quite commonly, as we know. Anyone who was looking for a summer job, they would basically, the Sahaba would pay him just to be with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam at hours when they were at work or people weren't around. So this kid would come by and he would do it, and one day he got sick. فَعَادَهُ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمَ The Prophet alayhi salam went to visit him at his home because he was sick. صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمَ He would do this all the time, no problem. فَدَخَلَ فَإِذَا أَبُوهُ قَاعِدٌ عِنْدَ رَأْسِهِ When he entered, the young boy, the guy was lying down, and his father was sitting at his head, and it looked like this person was passing away. Again, a more common thing that happened 1400 years ago than it happens today. People died earlier. The median age that people had back then was significantly different. We doubled it, by the way. Like we easily doubled it. It was in the 30s back then. In Arabia, it was in the 30s. That was how long people would... That's why the Sahaba, when you think about them, when you talk about Sayyid ibn al-Hudayr and Anas ibn al-Nadr and Sa'd ibn Mu'adh and Mus'ab ibn Umayr, and they all died in their 20s. And this was not uncommon. The Prophet ﷺ's father died in his 20s. His mother died in her 30s. This was not something that was uncommon. Because it was much more, we didn't have a lot of medicine, and people just, and of course the environment of the desert is very unforgiving. So people, if you any small mistake can cause you to lose your life. So this child, this young person was passing away, and the Prophet ﷺ enters to do iyad. He sees that, he sees the father sitting there. So the Prophet ﷺ's reflexes kick in, and he sees him passing away, and he says, "Ya ghulam, qul la ilaha illallah." Say la ilaha illallah. نظر الغلام إلى أبيه وسكت. The young man looks at his father, because his father's sitting right there. He doesn't say anything. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام can't help it. Again, يا غلام قل لا إله إلا الله. Say لا إله إلا الله. قال فسكت ونظر إلى أبيه. He was quiet and looked at his father again. And the father was feeling a little bit uncomfortable, because the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام is telling him, say something, and he doesn't know what to do. فقال يا بني أطع أبا القاسم. Oh son, do what Abu al-Qasim tells, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ata' Abu al-Qasim, listen to what Abu al-Qasim is saying. فَقَالَ الْغُلَامُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ ثُمَّ فَاضَتْ رُوحُهُ. And then the young man said, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, and he passed away. فَخَرَجَ النَّبِيُّ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He walked out there with tears running down his face. يَقُولَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي أَخْرَجَهُ بِي مِنَ النَّارِ الحمد لله الذي أنقذه بي من النار. Praise be to Allah that He used me to save him from the hellfire. Alhamdulillah that Allah used me to save him from the hellfire, and I got him to say it before he passed away. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's how he felt about this stuff. That's how he felt about it. If I can just save one more person. Now, we don't know where people are going. Even him alayhi salatu wasalam. When people die, we don't know where they're going. But as far as we can tell, if you die without Islam, then the odds are you're not going to the right place. For him alayhi salatu wasalam to be able to just to get him to say before he passes away, then we got him to go to the right place. And hopefully the odds now are in his favor. Then he has the criteria that should allow him to make it to Jannat al-Na'im. That's all he cared for, alayhi salatu wasalam. Just get one more person. Just one more person across the finishing line. Just one more person farther away from something that we all dread. And that's how he felt about it. And that's what he did. And you can feel like he's walking into the room. Maybe, respect his, they have their own faith. He couldn't do it. Say la ilaha illallah. Say it, because the value of it, the weight of it, the beauty of it. You know what my teacher used to tell me? He said, what he used to say when he narrated this hadith, he said, because this young man carried the shoes of Muhammad and held the wudu of Muhammad, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refused to allow him to go anywhere but to Jannat al-Na'im. He had to say La ilaha illallah. And he served Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam. He served him. He carried his shoes for him and put his wudu for him. Of course he's going to be given the gift. It's a gift. It's a gift. To say La ilaha illallah is a gift. You were gifted that. It was something that was wrapped up for you and given. It's a gift. See if you can wrap it up and give it as a gift to someone else. That's all this is. There's nothing more to this whole story aside from these two concepts. It was gifted and wrapped it and given to you, and you got it and you opened it up, and it's the most valuable thing in the world. I hope you feel that that's what it is. And then if you can wrap it up and gift it to someone and they can feel the same way about it, and that's all this is. There's nothing else. There's no complexity to the story outside of those two concepts. يروي الإمام البخاري في صحيحه عن أنس بن مالك رضي الله عنه قال أن غلاما يهوديا كان يخدم النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم مرض فعاده رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم فوجد أباه جالسا عند رأسه فقال يا غلام قل لا إله إلا الله فسكت الغلام فنظر إلى أبيه فعاد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال يا غلام قل لا إله إلا الله فسكت فنظر إلى أبيه فقال أبوه أطع أبا القاسم يا بني فقال الغلام لا إله إلا الله ثم فاضت روحه فخرج النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم من عنده يقول الحمد لله الذي أخرجه بي من النار الحمد لله الذي أنقذه بي من النار صدق رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم.